Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, asking the question, I should say, have we abandoned our constitutional freedoms? And I say that we have. We're on the very fast track of destroying, eviscerating, absolutely nullifying all of our Bill of Rights and the constitutional freedoms that we have afforded to us today. Freedoms that God gave us, that our founding fathers codified in our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Biden administration. I used to outline that we are watching the Biden administration dismantling our national security, destroying our military, demonizing our nation. It is absolutely demoralizing Christians and conservatives and patriots, demanding our submission through Domestic Terrorist Act, door-to-door COVID vaccination. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they're setting, Nancy Pelosi is suggesting that we set up a federal credit union because the other three credit unions, national credit unions, are not being, they're being biased. They're not being open with their authorization of credit. And she wants a federal United States-controlled credit bureau so that the federal government can decide who gets loans and who cannot get loans. They're expanding the Capitol Police, and we'll talk about some of those other things during the course of this broadcast today. We have as our special guest today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative for District 1 of the state of Florida. Congressman, I'm thankful to get you with us. And by the way, thank you again for joining us for that special night on July the 1st when we had Let's Face the Issues rally here in Jacksonville. It was a delight to have you with us, and I've had major number of special comments and commendations on your being with us, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it was my honor to be there, and it was a great event. Had a good audience, turned out, great discussion, and I think that is just a tribute, Dr. Youngblood, to you starting this a number of years ago with a single radio station there in Jacksonville, which has now expanded into other states and several stations because people do crave and want to hear the truth.
I believe that is exactly right, and I have enjoyed it. And by the way, you refer to that, and I believe the first time that I did a Let's Face the Issues broadcast was back in 1984 on a single station. I had a 15-minute 7:15 to 7:30 broadcast, and then a 10 o'clock till 10:30 broadcast, 2 broadcasts per morning for some time. And I have always enjoyed getting the information to the people, allowing the people to have an opportunity to have dialogue and discussion with those events that are taking place in society. Congressman, we continue our conversation about Joe Biden and the administration with the door-to-door outreach, as they call it. Here's an article that says the Biden administration announces door-to-door outreach with teams to get Americans vaccinated. And it says President Joe Biden and other White House officials said that the federal government will start targeting communities door-to-door outreach in an effort to get the COVID-19 vaccinations. Because millions of Americans are unvaccinated due to the so-called Delta COVID-19 variant that's spreading, Biden said the administration will attempt to ramp up its vaccination efforts. And to go on to talk about, the president said that people will be door knocking on doors in your neighborhood to remind you that you aren't vaccinated. It's part of the community outreach program, he said, that's being set up to mass vaccinate people that have not been vaccinated. Quote, we're intensifying our efforts to meet people where they are, the president said, end quote. And he goes on to talk about the door-to-door outreach and how that will be carried out. Here's another article, Congressman, that says, the White House defends door-to-door vaccine push and insists it's up to individuals to be vaccinated after conservatives complain that the government is forcing people to engage in a human experiment. There are several blurbs on this article. The White House defended its efforts to go door-to-door to distribute the vaccine, and some prominent Republicans hammered the plan. Now, in all that the president has said, all of his constituents, including Jen Psaki, they don't talk about just giving you information door-to-door. They're talking about literally going door-to-door with information and offering your vaccination on-site. Now, I find that compelling from the standpoint of what they're saying, and I understand with the massive efforts that it will take, the major financing underwriting that it will take to do so, but I don't think that Biden administration has any concern for the expenditures. They just keep printing the money. They're engaging now another 85,000 IRS agents, and they feel that it's necessary to try to do that to force every American to come up with every penny that they feel that the federal government deserves. But yet, Congressman, I find that when they talk about these enhancements of the law enforcement, the federal government agencies, IRS, et cetera, they have a greater look, an outlook, I believe, of something greater that they're going to have to control in the future is the reason they're doing that, more so than just the COVID vaccination. And by the way, for our listeners' benefit, this door-to-door survey, this door-to-door entourage will be coming to, they said, thousands of communities, and they're focusing on the Southeast and the Midwest, the Southeast and the Midwest. And all that they've said about that, Congressman, they've not said anything about any other part of America. Why is that the case? Why do you believe that is the scenario? Do you believe it has anything to do with the difference between red and blue cities and states, or is that just something that I'm thinking is a possibility?
No, you're absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. The reason why they want to target the Southeast and the Midwest is because that is deeply red. Those are conservative strongholds, and I think they're going to be wasting their time. There are, in those blue areas, a number of people who have not been vaccinated yet, and I would say a large part of that is the Black community. The Black community does not believe in this vaccine. And, of course, oftentimes the Black community will lean towards blue or towards the left, but you don't hear them going into those neighborhoods. You don't hear them going into the minority communities in the cities like Chicago, Philadelphia, Detroit, and so forth. You don't hear them going to those cities. One is because I think they're afraid to do so, but they're also, as you said, they are attacking the conservative areas, I think, in order to create a conflict. That is what they want. They want a conflict because as soon as there is a conflict, when they create chaos and confusion, then they can bring in more police force, whether it's with the National Guard or with more police that they bring on board, their own national police force. By the way, the feds setting up that police force in a Capitol police force in Tampa is completely illegal and unconstitutional. We, the people in Florida, and the governor, Governor DeSantis, should put a stop to that, to call on Pelosi and Joe Biden to get those people out of our state. They are not welcome here, they are not wanted here, and they're not allowed to be here. The same with those who are going to be knocking door to door with, should they have the nerve to come into our neighborhoods to knock door to door, you're not allowed here, you're not wanted here, and it's illegal for you to be here, so leave now.
Yes. In fact, Congressman, I'm glad you brought that up, because what I'm seeing is the big, big, big picture. It is what one writer called in his book, The Bigger Picture. And we're looking at the big picture. And Nancy Pelosi, as you just alluded to, has just announced that she has the authority, she is the one that's in control of the Capitol Police Force. The Capitol Police Force for the Capitol Complex has historically been simply for the Capitol Complex. But she just announced that because of the, quote, fear of what took place on January the 6th, she's enlarging the Capitol Police Force to cover the nation, starting with Tampa, Florida, and California. And I've been looking at an article, and he says, as Nancy Pelosi stokes fears over January the 6th, her Capitol Police Force begins opening satellite offices across America, dated July the 8th. For House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as the Democrat, January the 6th is the day that she never wants to end. It's so ingrained in the left's culture. In fact, it is the one thing that can move the Democrat Party to expand police presence. The House of Representatives is stoking fear over the January 6th commission. On one hand, and there is the Capitol Police, which now plans to open satellite offices to deal with the threats for members of Congress nationally. The USCP, that's the United States Capitol Police, has enhanced our staffing within our Dignity Protection Division, as well as coordinated for the enhanced security for members of Congress outside of the National Capital Region, according to Nancy Pelosi's news release just given. The department is also in the process of opening regional field offices in California and Florida, with additional regional offices in the near future to investigate any threats to members of Congress nationally. And it goes on to say the field offices will be first for the department. A regional approach to investigating and prosecuting threats against members is important, she said, so we will be working closely with the U.S. Attorney's Office in those locations. More field offices will be opening across America in the near future. And Congressman, you just touched on that in making a definitive statement, of which I believe is absolutely correct. It is the expansion of police powers in America. I believe that what we see is Nancy Pelosi setting this up, calling it the Capitol Police expansion to protect congresspeople across America. But I believe it's setting the stage for the federality, if you please, the federal government's police department on a national level. What do you see as that portending, or what is it pointing to, or what are your thoughts in relationship to that being a real viable reason? And by the way, let me touch on this before you respond. We've been seeing the blue states, the blue cities, wanting to talk about defunding the police. And across America, in all of the major cities, Delaware, Detroit, New York, Chicago, California, Oregon, Washington State, we've seen crime go up in some places in some categories as much as 800%+ because of the defunding police. If they have been defunding the police, and they have been, reduction of the police force, we're finding the major increase on crime, and now they're saying let's bring in the Capitol Police on a national level under the pretense, the false pretense of protecting congresspeople nationally. Do you see that as an ulterior motive to federalize the police departments across America?
Yes, I do, Dr. Youngblood. And what we are seeing, when you study history, this is the perfect playbook for Marxism, for yes, communism, that what they do is they come in and they first create class division, mm-hmm, then they create chaos, then they bring themselves in as a savior of that chaos with the police force, and then they set themselves up as dictators. We see it time and time again, and why it is so important to study and remember your history, and why it is so important to stop the left from tearing down these monuments and statues as a way of erasing history instead of learning from it. The American history is glorious. What we have in this nation is unprecedented around the world, and it has created prosperity and power and blessings that have heretofore never been seen. And we have people who want to take that down, who want to destroy it because of this reason. They are not Christians. They are not for freedom. Yes. They are not for liberty. Instead, they want to be in control. They want to tell you what you can and cannot do. And we see it coming from this administration right now, which again is just an extension of the Obama administration, who, by the way, touted himself as an extension of the Franklin Roosevelt administration, where they come in with all this federal government powers, which they do not have, and expand it in an attempt to control our population. By the way, Dr. Youngblood, one of the reasons why they say they're opening that those Capitol Police office here in Tampa, Florida, is because they say a large number of those who they have arrested and are detaining right now, which I believe, by the way, is illegal, detaining in Washington, D.C., came from Florida. That those who, in that January 6th, that peaceful protest, that they arrested a large number of people, hundreds, and are keeping them without bail. Even though there were those who were destroying property, destroying our cities, looting, rioting, and stealing, and they were, some were arrested, but then they were released. And the Vice President, Kamala Harris, was encouraging people to set up fundraisers to pay for the bail of those who were arrested. They at least had bail. The people who are being held now in Washington, D.C., don't even have bail. They're arrested. Bail is supposed to be there to prevent you from fleeing. The people who were arrested love this country. They're not going anywhere. There's no reason why they should not have bail and should be released. And our judicial system, which is allowing us right now, is a travesty. It should be stopped. And again, I call on Governor DeSantis, I call on the Florida legislature to demand that these Capitol Police do not get established here in Florida. And if they're here, you must leave immediately.
Congressman, you touched on that, and it causes me to ask the question because of my lack of knowledge with that. Does the governor have the authority in and of himself to give an executive order that would forbid that and prevent that, or is the governor's hands tied based on any federal edict or federal law?
No, the power belongs to the states and to the people. We give power to the federal government, not the other way around. I asked a number of my former legislative members, if this property that the Capitol Police are wanting to use in Tampa, if it is federal property, because as you know, Dr. Youngblood, there the federal government does have property in many states, illegally, by the way, more so out west than they do here in Florida. But in Florida, about a third of the property is owned by the government, either the state or federal. So my question was, in Tampa, is that federal property where they are wanting to establish these Capitol Police? Because as you know, when that rioting was going on in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, that President Trump sent police there to protect federal property. They couldn't protect any state property or city property, but federal property they could. So my question was, is that federal property that they want to put these Capitol Police? And my legislative friends, one said it's not going to happen. Another one said, hey, let me investigate a little further. But they believe that the Capitol Police are not going to be established in Tampa, Florida. And yes, the governor does. And of course, the sheriffs do. The sheriff is the highest elected official in the United States in each county in Florida. And a sheriff with a backbone can stop that from happening. But don't expect that to happen coming out of the county there in Tampa, because that same sheriff arrested a pastor at a church there for operating church services during the COVID scare.
That's exactly right. So that indicates the potential of that taking place would be very limited. Congressman, one of the things that's been a mystery since the January the 6th riot at the Capitol, not an insurrection, what they're calling it, was not an insurrection. but a riot there at the Capitol. And I even question whether you could call it that because of what we're finding now. I understand there's about 14,000 hours of video footage of that which took place there in the Capitol complex. Number one, they've refused to release any of that to the public. They're refusing to release any of that video footage to any of the defendants that's in the process of being prosecuted for being in and around the Capitol complex. So two questions that comes to mind. Do they know who instigated that? Are we certain that it was just the Trump people, or was it possible that it included FBI informants that was mixed with it, BLM individuals and Antifa individuals that literally caused the riot and not peaceful Trump people that were there for the lecture from President Trump? What's your take on that? What is your understanding of that?
Yes, I am seeing those reports coming out, Dr. Youngblood, that indeed the FBI was involved in that they infiltrated a number of groups, and that they were some of the first ones who breached the Capitol, along with Antifa members and Black Lives Matter members, that we know that they were there, and that it was not just all Trump supporters. The Trump supporters who were there were those who were indeed there to support President Trump, that when the Capitol was breached, the vast majority of them were still with the president, whose speech was still ongoing. And then they started walking towards the Capitol in a peaceful manner. They were exercising their First Amendment rights to peaceably protest a redress of grievances with our government. But there were those who did infiltrate that. And I'm reading reports. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, so I want to wait until the evidence actually comes forth that perhaps Nancy Pelosi was aware and involved with that, that President Trump requested a large presence of National Guard troops there to make sure that it would remain peaceful, and she declined it, along with the mayor of Washington, D.C.
That's right.
And now they won't release the videos. What are you hiding? But what are you afraid that the American people would see? What we see time and time again, Dr. Youngblood, is those on the left, the Democrats, that they are not those who are open to truth. They're not those who are open to what is the right thing to do. They behave in a manner that is contrary to our Christian theological and philosophical beliefs.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It is something that we must continually, as a free people, as a nation, rise up and fight against. We cannot become complacent and allow them to get away with this travesty of justice that we are seeing.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman, I'm looking at an article that says Dinesh D'Souza says the FBI is a grave threat to our national security. Famed conservative filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza is warning that the FBI has become a grave threat to our national security. In fact, he said, this article says, I would say the FBI now poses a greater threat to our national security than any white supremacist group. He continued, thugs with badges are always more dangerous than thugs on the street. That's words from Dinesh D'Souza. And he's talking about how he has discovered that they had infiltrated Dinesh D'Souza now in this 8-page article, talking about the fact that he has discovered that the FBI, in fact, had infiltrated the Trump rally, had infiltrated it, and had paired off with some of those that were there and trying to get them to talk and incriminate themselves, that, in fact, the FBI agents had been placed in the hotels, the motels next door to or in the same area of those that were there for the rally to try to get them to talk. And then they promulgated, as D'Souza says in his article, they promulgated through the operatives, he calls it, through the operatives, FBI operatives and informants. They then promulgated the absolute breach of the Capitol. In fact, the Capitol Police, as he understands it, opened the doors and invited the first 300-plus people in. And the breach actually took place under the leadership of FBI informants. Now, I'm assuming, based on D'Souza's reputation, that this is correct, And if that is, that's frightening for anything that's called national security. And, Congressman, one other issue that's involved in that, there was one person that was shot and killed on the Capitol grounds that day. Who was it? Do we know who did the shooting? And has there been any prosecution of that?
Yes, it was a military veteran named Ashley Babbitt. She was shot by a Capitol Police officer. In fact, that was the only person who was shot during this insurrection. They're calling it, I'm calling it a peaceful protest,
absolutely,
which became violent because of those on the left, those who infiltrated that peaceful movement. In fact, we have videos of when they were trying to break and smash windows to get in, that it was Trump supporters who were telling them to stop, who were pulling them down, saying, don't do that. So we know that it was infiltration, and that's what those videos are showing. So we know that Ashley Babbitt was murdered there by the Capitol Police. I forget the name of the gentleman who has been identified who did it, but it has not been released by the government at this time. And why they are holding that back, I don't know. When we have someone, a thug like George Floyd, who was killed, and that police officer and those who are around him were immediately identified and then put on trial, and then he was convicted for murder, which, by the way, I do not believe was even a fair trial at all.
Right. That's right. In fact, Congressman, you make mention of that. I'm looking at an article. In fact, I have three different sources now that have named Lieutenant Michael L. Byrd, Lieutenant Michael L. Byrd, a 53-year-old Capitol Police officer, is the one that summarily shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. He was in plain clothes on that event, and he's been identified because of some of the a necklace he had and a bracelet he had on his arm and a watch that was revealed in the footage, and he's been finally identified. And as you've said, the federal government's not identified him. In fact, they have sequestered his name, protected him completely, and it's antithetical to what we see that's taking place with the push across America with the blue states and the blue cities, saying that if a police officer shoots an individual, a private citizen, it must immediately be investigated, must immediately reveal his name, who he was, but his name has been sequestered and he's been protected. And I find it antithetical to anything that would be called the fact-finding or truth that would be initiated. Congressman, we've got about 20 seconds left on the broadcast. How would you wrap this up to be an encouragement to the listeners today to challenge them to keep on looking up?
Yes. First of all, Dr. Youngblood, as I always say, pray. Pray to the living God, the one true God who does answer prayers, and do not be afraid.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Fear will paralyze you into taking the right type of action. Instead, trust in God, but believe in our system here of federalism, of state rights, and stand up for your rights.
Absolutely. I don't know how I could have summarized it any better. Ladies, thank you so much, Congressman, for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.